let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm hosting today with Father John Wargle. Father John is here with me. Father John, hi.
Glad to be with you on this rather dreary December morning, isn't it?
Gosh, well, you know, I think we've turned the corner into winter, and so now it's just going to be cold, and I don't even know, did it snow this morning? There was a possibility of snow.
Yeah, it just makes me feel like Edgar Allan Poe right now.
I'll tell you what it makes me feel like. It makes me feel like Joseph in the dungeon in the dark night. So we've been talking about Joseph and his story. And so he was at the peak of everything. And then he went into a valley and got thrown in the dungeon for this mistaken messing around with Potiphar's wife. And then he went into this, what you called was like a St. John of the Cross dark night.
Right.
And now he's coming out of that, and everything about the story, everything about him says that he's in an enlightened state.
Right. Yeah. The church speaks of enlightenment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And it is a stage in the believer's life as they progress to God.
Yeah.
You know, we are not afraid to use that word enlightenment because it's sort of been hijacked by the New Age movement, right?
Sure, yeah.
But there is such a thing as authentic enlightenment, and we have to make that distinction here.
Yeah. I feel like it's not an enlightened state for me, but I do feel like all of the discussions that we've had, the podcasts that we've created, the posts that I've read on ancienthopes.org, all of that has really helped me understand the story so much better now, which is, that's the reason you're doing obviously. But
yeah, I mean, we just have to understand that this is not just history, okay? As valuable as it is as redemptive history, but they're also crafted to bring the soul along. Form the soul, right?
Sure.
And so that's what's happening. As we go through all of this, Danny, is that there's a formation going on, a reorientation of our minds and hearts, beginning with the get-go with Genesis 1:1. I mean, what is Genesis, right?
Sure.
And so as we progress, we find ourselves, as we're reading, changing. And that's what's supposed to happen.
it's definitely happened to me. I've read these stories so many times, the whole story of Joseph and his brothers and his family and all of that. And I've never had this much understanding of it. And it's not just understanding of the story, but it's understanding of how does it pertain to me and my own life in faith.
Right. And I have to say, Danny, the same thing for me. I mean, I've gone through this thing so many times. And yet, I'm never tired of it because I always understand that there's something in there that I haven't seen before. There's some treasure to unearth.
Yeah, for sure.
So
let's talk about Joseph, and this is Genesis chapter 41, right?
Right. So the baker, he had his head chopped off, I remember. The cop, the cupbearer forgot him, you know.
Yeah, left him behind.
But no, the Pharaoh's troubled with the dream, and so now he remembers. After maybe 2 years,
I know
this dude back in the
dungeon. There was a guy
somewhere. Rotting away, But you know, even though he experienced the dark night, I think that he wasn't surprised. when the guards came in and say, okay, we've got to put you through a bath.
Yeah.
We have to shave you. We've got to make you look decent. You're coming before the king. You're coming before Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And so I think that the Dark Knight readied him for this. And Pharaoh sort of assumes that he's just like all his other... I mean, when you talk about Egypt, magic is the thing. I mean, they had this priestly caste that goes way back into prehistory.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was about magic.
Yeah. Well, Pharaoh himself was considered a god deity.
That's right.
A god. Yeah,
that's right.
Which is really amazing.
You know, so here's this Hebrew waif, so to speak, you know, that comes before him. And, you know, Pharaoh couldn't help but think that, well, this is another man of power or something like that, because he was able to interpret dreams. And immediately Joseph corrected him. He says, hey, no, I don't have any power at all.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that all came from his new state. You know,
well, otherwise, he just saw who he was in his dark night.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he really, really believed that I'm nothing. And that's the huge difference between pagan and enlightenment and biblical enlightenment.
Mm.
Biblical enlightenment is a state where you really don't even know that you are in the state, in a sense, okay?
Yeah.
It's a state of connection and relationship with God where you are emptied of yourself and you're not seeking power, because it's not about power.
Mm-hmm.
It's, matter of fact, it's about powerlessness.
Yeah.
You feel keenly your powerlessness, okay?
Right.
Now, believe me, what's going on in our culture, and it started back in the 60s, but now it's really on high octane acceleration, especially among the younger crowds, okay, the Gen Z, you know, and what have you, is this desire for power.
Mm.
And that's why so many people are turning to the occult.
Oh, yeah.
Because
sure.
The occult promise you power.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We want to feel powerful because we have this nagging thought about ourselves that we're not in control and we want to be in control. And I want to feel good about myself.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the occult in the New Age preys upon this vulnerability among young people. And so if you go into bookstores, I mean, it's been this way all my life, really, since the 60s. You know, but the occult section is getting bigger and bigger and bigger,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I was just in Barnes & Noble. You look around and you think, good Lord, you know what I mean? 75% of this stuff is occult related. At least that's the feeling that I got, right?
Sure. And even a lot of things like children's books and stuff like that, they're just mixing that into it, I think.
Yeah. But enlightenment is a biblical term. I mean, if you look at St. Paul, he said in Ephesians 1, a great long prayer, you know, he prays for the eyes of our heart to be enlightened.
Mm.
And with the eyes of your heart enlightened, it really is a stage of really, everything is a stage when it comes to growing in the Lord, a stage of love,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
You sort of look around you in awe of everything around you. People are proud, are not in awe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
They're in awe of themselves.
They're in awe of themselves, or maybe they were in awe of some great celebrity or the new gadgets or whatever. But again, all of that has got to do with empowering. You know,
okay.
They want to feel empowered, right? In awe, it's all about God,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're really struck with God. And so you see God in created things which you didn't see before. You're aware of the supernatural undergirding of all that is natural.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And again, you walk around more like in awe, which is a stage of basically worship, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So it's all God-oriented, right? And so this is so, so different than what he was facing in Egypt. I mean, we're going to talk more about this again, you know, in another post, but this is what he's walking into is really a den of lions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They I'm really, amazed that Pharaoh didn't just look at him and go, okay, cut his head off now.
Yeah. Well, you know, and quite frankly, if he got the wrong interpretation or if he looked just the wrong way, that would have happened because these guys were all powerful.
Right.
Yeah, and they can do anything they want. Mm-hmm. And besides, he's not one of us. He's one of these desert bunnies that, you know, they come off the desert, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
Quite frankly, if he got the wrong interpretation or if he looked just the wrong way, that would have happened because these guys were all powerful,
right?
Yeah, and they can do anything they want. Mm-hmm. And besides, he's not one of us. He's one of these desert bunnies that, you know, they come off the desert, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so the clarity of thinking of Joseph, he getting right to the point, mm-hmm. not hemming and hawing. The fact that God is working through him on this whole thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that what he says is confirmed in Pharaoh's own heart.
Yeah, right.
Because mm-hmm. there's something about dreams that's very true, and that is, whoever has a dream, the interpretation really, really, really lies within the person who has the dream.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. And he was able to bring that out.
Yeah. So Joseph was able to say things that caused Pharaoh to understand, yes.
Yeah, and that. He knew that he was enlightened because he was able to track it. Pharaoh was able to say, yes, this is it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and that's because he's enlightened, right?
Sure.
So the very interesting thing about this is that he interprets the dream. Not only that, but he's really cheeky in a sense, not in a proud way, but he right away explains to Pharaoh what has to be done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he goes to the next step.
Right. Okay, this is what you should do, Pharaoh. Listen, you don't talk to Pharaoh that way.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something about him, that enlightenment, that godliness around him, that put Pharaoh in awe of him.
Yeah.
He's different than the magicians, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just watched a little bit with my family of The Prince of Egypt.
Uh-huh. Oh.
I don't know. Do you remember that?
Uh-uh.
It's an animated thing. Okay. Anyways, I'm just laughing at Pharaoh's magicians because they're just come off as really
bumbling
goofy,
doofuses.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, right. You know, right. That image just came to my mind. Whereas Joseph would not be that way, right?
Right.
He was clear-headed, clear-thinking, not fearful, not pandering.
Uh-huh.
None of this stuff.
Right.
Right. And
just Pharaoh, talking, he was talking to Pharaoh like an equal.
That's right. Yeah. Right, right. Again, that's part of enlightenment because God is giving him the right words to say.
Yeah.
And so immediately when he suggests put somebody over the country to collect grain for 7 years, someone, you know, who's wise and can do this, Pharaoh looks around him and says, well,
you're the guy. Yeah,
okay.
Right. Yeah, true. Well, it's interesting because Pharaoh definitely has the same sense. He must have the same sense that he did when Joseph first showed up and he gave him the keys to his house and his household and all that before Joseph went into the dungeon.
Okay, you're talking about Potiphar.
Oh, Potiphar. Oh, right.
That's
right.
Gosh. Okay. That's right. Well, no, yes. You're right.
So I mean,
had that same sense about him,
yes,
right?
Right.
Oh, and
yeah.
Now Pharaoh has that same sense about him.
Right. Except that it's even a little different because now Joseph is in a state where God is with him, but he's in a new place in his own relationship with God.
That's right. And he's also in a new place in society.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anybody knows anything about Egyptian religion knows that Osiris, the grain god, or the vegetation deity, like he was like big. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch any of these movies like The Mummy and stuff like that,
right?
There's always this calling on Osiris.
Yeah.
Right?
There's some mention of him in there for sure.
Yeah. And so Pharaoh, he was Ra, okay, which was the personification of the sun god.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in Egypt, that's what you see, the sun. There's never clouds there.
Right, okay? Yeah.
And there's the Nile, right, and the Nile god and what have you. But you also had Osiris, who is a provider of grain. And so the people of Egypt would not have been able to think anything other, and it might sound kind of ridiculous to us, but it makes sense when you look at their religion that Joseph became the personification of Osiris.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. Yeah.
So he would have been worshipped basically by the people as the grain god, the provider, Osiris.
Yeah, and the people are really, they're going to bow down to Osiris because they know that they need that food. You know, they know that they need or think they need Osiris's help to in order to be able to eat, to survive.
And so we're talking about power.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is social power that's been given to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not because he's so much a powerful person in and of himself, but because he is empty of himself and that the true divine energy from the creator of all things is flowing through him.
Yeah, sure.
So that is a big deal. You know, at this sermon last Sunday, I brought out St. John of the Cross.
Yeah.
Okay. And St. John of the Cross, of course, we think of him as a great mystic, but he didn't spend his whole time, you know, in deep contemplation.
Mm-hmm.
He would have liked to have done that, but that's not what his life was.
Right.
Incredibly enough, you go to Granada, I want to go there sometime, he built a stone viaduct like the Romans did to bring water in to his monastery that happened to be up on a hill and had no water.
Oh, interesting.
And he did, you know, here's this guy. He must have weighed not more than 120 pounds, skinny, emaciated guy from fasting, you know, but out there working really hard with these stones and designing this and making sure that, he's a foreman of this job.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay. And then he had all sorts of administrative responsibilities in his order.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. So that took him away from doing the things that he really wanted.
Right. And then, on top of that, he did his contemplation. Okay. Mm-hmm. All this to say is that when you're truly spiritual, when you're truly enlightened, you do have your head in the clouds, okay, in a sense that you are connected with God
mm-hmm.
in a special way. But your feet are on the ground, and you're always making a difference in your place.
Yeah. Your own surroundings and, the people who are around you.
Yeah, back in my Protestant days, I always heard this. It used to make me so mad. How does it go? It goes something like that. He's too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. Have you ever heard that?
Yes. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. Right.
First of all, I'd just like to find somebody heavenly minded.
Yeah.
Okay. Because around now, all you right. see is people who are on earth,
yeah.
right?
Who are not that. Yeah.
That is the dumbest thing because it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're truly heavenly minded, like Joseph, and like St. John of the Cross and all the saints, you become earthly good.
Sure.
It empowers you to do something that changes for the better
mm-hmm.
the world, the physical world around us, because there's a deep connection between the spiritual realm and the physical realm, and an enlightened person lives in both.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, it's like the saints. When you think of the saints, they were all like that, talking about. They were, heaven-centered.
But
they made such a difference.
Even the saints of the desert, okay, in the desert fathers, you had these, like, St. Simon Stylites. I'm not sure if you ever heard of him.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah. What this guy did is he went out in the desert and he sat on a pillar, okay? He wanted to be away from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the more he wanted to be away from people, the more people came to him because they wanted his insights into their life, right? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So what he would do is he'd build the pillar higher and higher and higher. Okay, they had a wheel of food up to him or something like that, right? Right, right.
Yeah.
But the point of the matter is that when you read the Desert Fathers, I mean, and that's very important in this discussion of Egypt, because what happened in the first few centuries in Egypt with Christianity was one of the greatest miracles of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole country was filled with monks. And if you read the story of St. Anthony, you know, fighting the demons, he was fighting territorial spirits who had been embedded in Egypt from prehistoric times.
Right, forever, yeah.
Right. And so in the Bible, Old Testament Bible prophecies about Egypt coming to the Lord, they were fulfilled.
Mm.
Okay, in a big way in Egypt.
Yeah.
At this time. And it was by these monks, right? And a lot of them were just living in caves by themselves, but everybody, I mean, St. Athanasius, he would go off to talk to these monks because of their enlightenment.
Yeah.
Because they were enlightened.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
So this is all very, it's so profound and interesting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, it makes me really understand the story in a completely new way.
Yeah. 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 It's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yep. Sure.
Well, I guess that's it. We should all be motivated to dig deeper with God and our relationship with Him.
Yeah.
So that we can become what God would have us to become.
Yep.
Right.
And it's nothing. You know, it's the humble servant.
It's humble, a servant just like of Jesus.
All. Right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Was that everything that Jesus said, it's coming, or it came true in Joseph's life too.
That's why Jesus is so powerful.
Yeah.
Because he was totally empty of himself and perfectly humble.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, thanks so much for the conversation. It was great.
God bless you. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.